Hi, everybody. It's me, Tracy Thomas, host of The Stacks. And today is an extra special bonus episode of The Stacks Unabridged. It's a celebration we're calling Poetry Explained, or maybe Poetry Therapy. I'm not quite sure. Here's how it'll work. I've invited five different poets onto the podcast. Each one of them picked a poem for us to read together and discuss. They're going to help me break it down, explain what makes the poem good and exciting, and talk about all my poetry, anxiety, and fears. I will be joined by Jose Olivares, Morgan Parker, Nate Marshall, Gabrielle Bates, and Saeed Jones. So hopefully today, with the help of my five poet friends, we can learn something and get excited about reading poetry. Now listen, this episode cuts out after 10 to 15 minutes. That means you are not a member of the Stacks Pack on Patreon or subscribe to Unstacked on Substack. If you want to hear this whole thing, you need to go to patreon.com/thestacks and join the Stacks Pack to get access to our virtual book club, bonus episodes, and of course our Discord, and or go to tracythomas.substack.com, subscribe to Unstacked, get all of my hot takes, shit talk, and other opinions about books and pop culture over on Unstacked. So if you want to hear this whole episode, you need to do one or the other or both. Patreon.com/thestacks, tracythomas.substack.com. Check it out and listen to this entire amazing poetry episode. Okay, that's enough for me. Let's dive in. All right, everybody, to kick this thing off, I am joined by friend of the podcast, one of my favorite people and poets, Jose Olivares. You might remember him from coming on the podcast last year for his collection Promises of Gold, which was longlisted for the National Book Award. He's also written other poetry collections, including Citizen Illegal and Por Siempre, which features amazing visuals from Antonio Salazar. The Paris Review has spoken of the abiding love and humor in Jose's work about the, quote, painful laughter that comes with so much truth. All right, everybody. It is April. It is Poetry Month. We're trying something brand new. I'm really excited because I'll tell you guys a little secret. I am a poet. I'm in a group chat with friends of the show, Jose Olivares and Nate Marshall. It's called Three Poets. I'm obviously the third one. It's called that because I named it that. They didn't ask for this. But one day I'm in the group chat and we're talking about what poetry collection we're going to do. And I'm asking the guys, like, should I do this one? Should I do this one? You know, whatever. They're helping me. And then Jose is like, it would be really fun if I came on the show and like taught you how to do poetry. And I was like, this is a great idea. What if we had a bunch of different poets bring on their favorite poem? And then we talked about it and they taught me how to read and love poetry. And so that's what we're going to do. And because it was Jose's idea, Jose's our first guest. So Jose, welcome to the Stacks Unabridged. I'm so excited about this.
Hey, I'm so excited about this. I'm so glad you enjoyed the idea. I think this is going to be great.
Well, one of the things, I'll just say this to you. Last year, we did Ross Gay's Catalog of Unabashed Gratitude. And it was our third poetry collection we've done on the show. And I struggled with it, as I do with most poetry collections. And after I aired the episode, I got a text from another poet that was like, we get it. You're bad at poetry. Just read the words. And I was like, okay. And that really actually like kind of shook me out of my feeling like I needed to disclaim being bad at poetry. So for this year's episode, which folks haven't heard yet, which is the January Children, I actually just was like, yeah, I didn't get some of it, but these are the things I did got. And these are the words. And we read a lot of the poems out loud and it was really great. And I think that I've been doing everyone a disservice by being like, I'm shit at poetry, because I don't think that matters. I feel like in letting that go, I've gotten slightly better. So I'm really excited to do this because I don't feel as intimidated as I think I did maybe 3 years ago. So that's why I really like this idea. I feel like I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great. I also think part of what intrigued me about doing this with you is that I feel like there's a lot of people that share that sentiment, right? Have those same hesitations of like, I get what the words are. Like, I know what the definitions are. I kind of understand the sentences, but I don't really get the full picture, you know?
Right, right. Okay, so what we're going to do, this is your plan. You want me to read the poem just straight through.
Yes.
Then we're going to talk about it. And then you're going to tell me what you think about it and why you chose it and why you love it. And we'll kind of just talk about it for a few minutes.
Perfect. Absolutely.
Okay, so the poem you chose is called Sink Your Fingers Into the Darkness of My Fur by Ellen Bass. Okay, everyone, I'm going to read poetry to a poet.
Let's go.
Here we go. Up until this sore minute, you could turn the key, pivot away. But mine is the only medicine now, wherever you go or follow. The past is so far away, but it flickers, then cleaves the night. The bones of the past splinter between our teeth. This is our life, love. Why did I think it would be anything less than too much of everything? I know you remember that cheap motel on the coast where we drank red wine, the sea flashing its gold scales as sun soaked our skin. You said this must be what people mean when they say I could die now. Now we're so much closer to death than we were then. Who isn't crushed, stubbed out beneath a clumsy heel? Who hasn't stood at the open window, sleepless for the solace of the damp air? I had to get old to carry both buckets, yoked on my shoulders, sweet and bitter waters I drink from. Let me know you, ox you. I want your scent in my hair. I want your jokes. Hang your kisses on all my branches, please. Sink your fingers into the darkness of my fur. The end. How do we
come do? Come on, come on. Snaps. Wherever you're listening, get your snaps together.
Yeah, I'm a poet. The third poet. Okay. Let me tell you the big thing of this poem that I noticed and that every time I've read it, that was my fourth time reading it. So I read it three times to myself before we did this. Mm-hmm. That was my fourth time reading it. And every single time when it gets to the part at the end that's like, I had to get old to carry both buckets. That is the part to me where it feels like the whole poem shifts. I don't know if it's like the verse changes or something rhythmically changes, but the language seems to change. That is where I feel like I get lost. Like I get confused with the poem. Like to me, that felt like a shift. And I don't know what it is, what she's done there. But that to me is like the biggest thing. It feels like a poem about lovers getting old. I don't know. That's my sense. Like growing old together and like reminiscing on their days.
I mean, you're right. I mean, so on the page, I sent you the link to the American Academy of Poets, and you can see that it says the occasion is for Valentine's Day, right?
Oh, I didn't even read any of the stuff on the right. I didn't look at anything but the words of the poem.
Perfect. Doesn't matter. But yeah, absolutely. You're right in intuiting that this is a romantic poem of sorts, that these are two old lovers. I mean, they reminisce back to their days at, what is it, the old motel? Yeah, cheap motel. Yes. On the coast. I mean, You say that's the moment you get lost. Go back. Tell me about what you're kind of feeling and if any of the lines before then kind of hook you.
Yes. Okay. My favorite part that I really liked is the "you said this must be what people mean when they say I could die now, period, now, end of line." I love that. I love ending a line on a "now" because "now" is such a big, good, juicy word. And then having "now" and "now." Because I also really like punctuation and line endings. I think that they're both really important. I know a lot of people just read to the punctuation, but I try to honor the line ending. And so I feel like having that short line that's "I could die now, period. Now we're so much closer." Another short line. That little chunk. I just really like that part.
I love it. I love it so much. And there's so many of those juicy line breaks to me. I mean, you could go back to line four, right? The past is so far away, but it flickers. Line break, then cleaves the night. This image of the past kind of coming back and then coming back forcefully again in the next line. The bones, right in line five, like ending that line. I feel like the line breaks are excellent in this poem.
But let me ask you this.
Yes.
So my thing with poetry is that a lot of times I like a sentence or a line, right? Like the things we called out. But I think that I struggle with like the bigger like thing that makes a poem like good. And I know there's no answer for that, but with like nonfiction or with fiction, I kind of can tell you like what makes a book good. But I really struggle. Like, why is this poem exciting or good or interesting to you? Why is this poem worthy of being the poem we discussed today?
Yeah, for me, there's an energy that a poem has. And this poem starts right from the beginning. for me, my favorite part is the opening. Up until this sore minute, you could turn the key, pivot away. And then talk about like the second line, third line feels like the most swaggerful thing you could say. But mine is the only medicine now, wherever you go or follow, like the kind of verve you have to be like, there's nothing else in the world for you. Yeah, there's nothing else in the world for you. It's me. That's it. That's all you get now. It's the only medicine to whatever ails you, right? And like the phrase.
Those two lines meant nothing to me. I felt really? Like the poem doesn't even start to. Yeah, I didn't even. I think the beginning of poems are really hard for me because I think I'm like, what's happening? What's happening? But that's so funny because those meant nothing to me. But now, of course, I'm like, oh, she's just.
You see it though, right?
Yeah, of course I do.
I mean, for me, that opening is just, that's where the energy picks up. And then to not lose that energy, right? To go right into, this is our life, love. Why did I think it would be anything less than too much of everything? You know, it's just, it continues to kind of build and build. I love the line, the questions, as you said, and it's specifically the second one, who isn't crushed, stubbed out beneath a clumsy heel. Like, to me, what I love about that question is, one, the word crushed, right? It's a romantic poem and it brings up the feelings of having a crush on someone, and then being stubbed out under a heel, kind of like a cigarette, which is also kind of a sexy image, right? The heel itself.
Sure.
It's that precise, like that clean, that energetic. Who hasn't stood at the open window, sleepless for the solace of the damp air? And then we get to the line that you had questions of. I had to get old to carry both buckets yoked on my shoulders. Sweet and bitter waters I drink from. This is a line where, like, I can't tell you exactly what it means. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad, because I can't either.
I don't know what, for me, this is kind of the art of poetry, which is like, I can't tell you why Ellen went to this particular image of someone carrying two buckets of water, right? But that next part, sweet and bitter waters I drink from. And then I'm like, all right, I know what to do with sweet and bitter waters, right? Like, it's to say, like, it's not just a hotel, right? We're old enough to know that this is going to end, that maybe now there's more bitter waters than sweet ones, because we're, you know, closer to the end than we are to the beginning. And then we get the build towards the end, right? You said it was kind of the pivot, the shift. Let me know you, ox you. I didn't grow up near oxes. That doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot to me, but ox you, animal you immediately. You know what I mean? Like, there's something like that intimate. And then the last three lines, I want your jokes. Hang your kisses on all my branches, please. You could end the poem right there. Hang your kisses on all my branches, please. First of all, I love the word please in a poem. It feels
so good.
It's like when a singer sings it. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because it's like you can tack it on to anything. It could go at the beginning. It could go at the end. It could go in the middle. Like, it's a really good word. Yeah. All right. That is the end of this bonus teaser. If you were liking what you were hearing, you can listen to the entire episode by going to either patreon.com/thestacks and joining the Stacks Pack, getting access to the Discord, being able to participate in our virtual book club, and or you can go to tracythomas.substack.com and subscribe to Unstacked, where you're going to get my writing about books, pop culture. You're going to get other exclusive author interviews, and of course, these bonus episodes. So go to one of those two places, join us, get to hear the rest of this episode, and support the work that I do by being a part of these wonderful communities. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the stacks.